hour of the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
He said, Captain, I said, what? He said, Captain, I said, what? He said, Captain, I said, what? He said, Captain, I said, what you want?
You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810. Is the season to decide your costume for Halloween. And, you know, you got to love the Bay Area. It does feel all of a sudden like fall is here and there's a change in the air and there's fun going on at the film festival and playing at the Balboa. And I welcome my next guest is Strephon Taylor. He's a documentarian and his latest film is Jack Pierce, the Maker of Monsters. Thank you very much for joining me, Strephon.
No, the pleasure's all mine. Thank you very much for having me. I'm super happy that I'm getting some press.
Absolutely. Well, I'm so thrilled to talk to you because Jack Pierce was the maker of Monsters, and he's the creator behind. Let's talk about it. You go ahead and mention the films.
Yeah, I mean, Jack Pierce. One, I always get asked why I make a documentary on Jack Pierce because nobody knows who the heck Jack Pierce is. But he was he worked at Universal Studios, creating all of their makeup, not just the horror stuff, but even, you know, glamour makeup, all of their makeup for years and years, 30s and 40s. So he created Dracula, Frankenstein, the Mummy, the Wolfman, the Bride of Frankenstein, Igor, you know, from Son of Frankenstein. Just all of those creatures were created from Jack Pierce, which is, he's an amazing person. So I always say if people enjoy it 10% as much as I'd enjoyed making it, then I've done my job. It was really fun just learning who he was.
Let's talk about some of the actors and actresses. Top of mind, Bela Lugosi. I think of him.
Yeah, I mean, Lugosi, amazing actress. I'll mention Igor in the Frankenstein films. Right. His role in that was expanded greatly by the director because Universal was treating Lugosi really badly and not paying him what he needed, and they only wanted him for a short period of time on the set, and the director decided to say, hey, you know what? He's going to be on the set the entire time. So Igor, we got to see, you know, I think one of the best roles ever besides Dracula that Lugosi did, particularly, you know, that's a classic role that people remember him for, which is amazing.
But, I think all these folks were probably under studio contracts at the time, right?
Pierce's big break was really Lon Chaney Sr., who played the Phantom and the Hunchback, leaving Universal. Because they needed, he did his own makeup, so they needed somebody to replace him. And Jack Pierce had made a movie called Monkey Talks, which was a talk of the town, and it's a chimpanzee makeup he did on an actor, and it puts the Planet of the Apes to shame. And we're talking, 32 or whatever. It's earlier than 22.
Wow.
That's why he was hired on to Universal because of his ability to produce these makeups. And Chaney leaving under contract to work for MGM exclusively was a great break for Pierce, who went to Universal and became the head of makeup.
And when we think of these classic films, when I think of Dracula, the Wolfman, Bride of Frankenstein, and all of these monsters, they stand the test of time to this day. And talk about the whole, what they had to go through as far as the makeup's concerned, because I'm sure it was, I don't know, pretty tough to take. Grease paint, cotton glue, it had to be agonizing.
Yeah, it seems like it's grueling even now.
Right,
so back
yeah.
then, still had to be a couple hours in a chair, I'd assume.
Yeah, I mean, the Frankenstein makeup, I mean, the longest one that Pierce did was the mummy in the wrappings, and that was an 8-hour makeup that Karloff had to sit through Pierce putting on for 8 hours. But I mean, it actually they did one day of shooting in that makeup, and it only appears once in the film. There's two scenes shot, and they dropped one of them because it was effective enough to do that. The original Frankenstein makeup probably took 3 hours. In fact, in the documentary, we have footage of Karloff saying it took 3 hours. And that's a pretty long time to sit in a chair, but it took 6 months for Pierce to come up with that makeup design for the film. And the Wolfman, you listen to Lon Chaney Jr., and he says it took 20 hours, and you listen to Jack Pierce, he said it took 3 hours, and it was an easy makeup, actually 2 hours. So you get into, people. I think Pierce was a real professional, and he had started working in films in 1910. He was in San Francisco for the 1906 earthquake. He was an immigrant from Greece, and he moved from New York to Chicago, then to San Francisco. It was an earthquake and left to Los Angeles after the earthquake. So, and he started in the movie business in like 1910. So I think there's a lot of stories of Pierce being a hard butt and being not a very nice guy to work with. But he worked for 36 years in Hollywood, and people kept rehiring him, and he stayed on to Universal even after the Lamels left, were taken out of the studio. So I think he was actually a really hard worker and professional. And I think mm-hmm. if an actor came in with an attitude, or an actor came in with I need to be cradled, pampered and such, I don't think he'd put up with it. I think he would say, all right, whatever.
Right?
You're going to sit in my seat, and I'm going to do what I want to you, and you're going to move on. So I think that he was a great professional, and it shows in his work and historically how long he was in Hollywood for.
I can see feeling that way, because you're like, look, I'm doing all the hard work, and I'm making you look amazing for this role, so whatever.
Yeah, stand down.
Yeah, exactly.
But on the flip side, all of this makeup back in the day, as I said earlier, it must have been agonizing, and Bela Lugosi himself had scars, and he would leave it on overnight. You want to talk about some of those things?
Well, I mean, I think you're mixing up Bela Lugosi and Karloff. Karloff had scars on his neck from the, the neck bolt.
Bolts,
but,
right.
Bela Lugosi was actually first cast to be Frankenstein. He had that role. It was his, but he didn't want to do it because he didn't get enough acting. There was no talking, so he didn't like it. So he actually went and did the Murders in the Rue Morgue while Karloff got the Frankenstein role, which was great for Pierce because that Pierce was friends with Karloff his entire life, and every interview. Every time they mention each other, they talk very highly of each other, and they Pierce and him got along. It's funny, Karloff liked to raise flowers, and Pierce liked begonias. So they both were, gardeners and loved doing that kind of stuff.
Love that, That's good behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, it just strikes me so funny, these people that do these ghoulish things. Growing flowers. Blossoms.
Yeah, exactly, right? It's perfect. And he had a ranch, and there's a story, I don't know if it's true or not, but that Karloff actually left the set on Frankenstein, it's probably Son of Frankenstein, to go take care of his flowers because it was an unusually hot day, and he went in his costume. So he was in Frankenstein makeup out there taking care of his roses because he was afraid they were going to get hurt by the sun.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, no, it is. And let me ask you this, because back in the day when you go way back to the beginning of, movies as we know them, Dracula, Frankenstein's Monster, The Mummy, and so forth and so on, were they considered horror? I mean, or was it... We look at it now and it seems kind of campy, but in the day, was it horror?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, these films, in the documentary, you'll see Pierce talks about, I have an audio interview from him on the TV show from 62. And he talks about the release of Frankenstein and the premiere of it. And people ran out of the theater.
Really?
Wow. Universal got sued for people breaking bones, getting out of the theater. So yeah, right now, I've always wanted to do a documentary on the history of Halloween, but it's really kind of a hard thing to kind of get a hold of. So my wife and I are now interviewing 3-year-old to 10-year-olds children about Halloween, and their outlook is so different because I love Halloween growing up as a kid, and I know what I love about Halloween came from me being a kid, and what the things I did as a kid is what I still remember now. And Halloween's the second biggest holiday behind Christmas now, So to look back on it for me and for it's an adult holiday now, basically.
We're interviewing
these little kids, and their outlook on Halloween is so different. I mean, we've had 3 kids talk about cutting people's heads off and sucking eyes out and just weird. It's like the change in time. You know what I mean? It's like,
sure.
So yeah, when these movies came out, these were scary. This was the top. These were horror, scary, scary movies. And they did it with Dracula. I mean, they already knew they had box office with horror with the Phantom of the Opera and with The Hunchback of Notre Dame. So Universal knew what they were doing. And these were horror movies. And we have Walking Dead. It's like I tell my friends, like, how many people they're going to shoot in the face tonight on this show?
And I think of Halloween, as you said, Texas Chainsaw Massacre growing up as a kid. That was horror. Chucky, all of those things, scare the living hell out of anybody. I got to take a break, but great conversation. Strephon Taylor, we're talking about the documentary Jack Pierce, the Maker of Monsters. Will continue right after we check in with the news department on KGO 810. The theme this year for Halloween is 90s. I don't know how that came around. And Caitlyn Jenner. And Donald Trump. And this is a great song and a great theme to get back into our conversation. We're talking about Jack Pierce, the maker of Monsters. That is the name of the documentary that's playing at the Balboa and the film festival going on until tomorrow night. And we're talking to documentarian Strephon Taylor. So if you love documentaries, you'll love this when we talk about the fact that Jack Pierce, the maker of Monsters, was behind Dracula, Frankenstein's Monster, Bride of Frankenstein, and countless other Mummy, the Wolfman, countless horrors and monsters, which have stood the test of time. And when you talk about the makeup and how grueling it was, Strephon, what about when you think about Michael Jackson and Thriller?
That's
a classic.
That's John Landis directed that. I think, I don't know who the makeup person was. It was you know what? And that kills me. I should know this. But I know John Landis was the director for the video.
Yeah. And, that's right. Yes.
He's a pen pal now. He likes my documentary, so it's cool. I get to write him and send him stuff, and he's a really nice, genuine guy.
Wow, right on.
And yeah. In your documentary, when you look back, and one of the things, if you're just joining us, we were talking about, because when I look at these films today and I think of Dracula, Bride of Frankenstein, it seems kind of campy. But we were talking about, and you were addressing, that in the day, people were running over each other in horror. They were actually scared to death and would run out of the theater. And it was horror in its day.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as much as horror is advanced, it started somewhere, and it started with these kind of films. And yeah, you're absolutely right. People were freaked out and ran away and were scared of the film. In the documentary, we point out one of the first projection movie theaters got a call in the middle of the night at his home saying, hey, I saw Frankenstein at your theater, and I can't sleep, and I have no intention of you having to sleep either, so I'm going to call you and bug you because I'm very scared.
Jack Pierce was the maker of the monsters, and so is the name of your film. And by the way, so when you look back and you did this piece, and we think about Dracula and Frankenstein and all of those movies, what did you get out of it as to the way they made them, the way they appeared back in the day, as compared to what's going on now?
I think that it's pretty close to what goes on now. I mean, film was established the way it's done, especially horror, in a particular way. You'll find like weird instances where there'll be a movie made that's like lost footage, like say The Blair Witch or something like that, where they've made a change up. But generally speaking, film is film, and a story is story. It all comes down to writing a really good story and a strong cast and they had it. You know, Universal knew it, and they made, you know, that the reason we still talk about these, and the reason that they're still showing, and the reason that every Halloween all these creatures come out and visit us is because they're iconic and they were done right. And you know that, you know, a film will be around for, you know, a few years, and all of a sudden it becomes a classic, and even films that have been panned by, you know, critics you don't think they'll ever last become classics, and it's just because it's written well and it's done well. You know, it's done the right way and it's memorable. So
you just nailed it. And it just reminded me. I want to go to 1980 for a second, and you just said the word. It's the story. Story is the word. And for instance, one of my favorites that I actually love as far as horror is The Shining. It first came out in 1980, and it got mixed reviews, no Oscar nominations, and two nominations at the first Razzie Award, Stanley Kubrick. It was panned completely and now a classic.
People still love it.
Yeah.
It's an amazing movie. I mean,
really,
The Shining.
Is.
Yeah, I love The Shining. It's amazing. It's like, you know, the same thing happened with The Exorcist. It came out and people were like, it's too much. It's too strong. Yeah,
right.
This will never work. And it's like, nope, I'm sorry. It's a really good story.
Here's Johnny.
Yeah, it's gripping and you're there. I mean, you're getting scared watching that movie, even today.
I have to ask you, so as I said a few minutes ago, and we were talking about yesteryear compared to this year and today, I got to go to CGI. We talk about digital effects. Your thoughts?
You know, I love it. I have friends that work in the industry, and you know, they make their living from CGI. And since Star Wars was generally, you know, a lot of practical effects, but the movies that came out later were all CGI. And I'm really stoked that they're actually going back to a lot of practical effects.
So am I. And I think a lot of fans are. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, no worries. Yeah, I think that I'm excited to see it and to come back to it. And it's kind of like, you know, vinyl today. Like it's come back because you're tactically involved with the music instead of being separated. And I think there's something to be said about visually seeing those, you know, a practical effect in lieu of CGI. I'm stoked that J.J. Abrams in that film is going to come back to doing that kind of work.
Okay, Strefan, now I'm going to be brutally honest. I'm sorry you work with CGI and you think it's great. I hate it.
No, that's fine. I make documentaries. I have no CGI.
I know, but when you said you were a fan. And I'll tell you why. I guess it's because, you know, as a product of being born in the 60s, everything that I saw was real behind a real lens, and that's what I grew up with. I don't know if it's just me, but I can see computer graphics a mile away.
You're talking about bad computer graphics then.
Help me with this.
If we want to get into the argument, it's kind of like, do you like to play an Atari? Do you play a PS4? So if you don't like it, that's cool. I mean, there's nothing takes away from that. That's great. I mean, if you don't like it, then that's fine, because you're not enjoying a lot of films that are coming out. But I always love going back and looking at Ray Harryhausen stuff, you know, and those classic horror films. Stop motion stuff is my favorite, and they use that in the first few Star Wars movies. But you can say I'm a horrible person, but I actually like the new films that Lucas put out for Star Wars. Because I realized when I was a kid and I saw Star Wars in 77, I fell in love with it as a kid, and he was making those films were made for little kids again. And that's why there's Jar Jar Binks and a little Darth Vader and stuff like that. It was meant for kids. And us as adults, when we look at it, we're like, oh, that's not the same as Star Wars. This is, I don't like this. It's like, just sit down and say, okay, they're making this for the same kid you were in 77 than it was for that. So.
I think you're right. I mean, I guess the big difference is good computer graphics compared to bad. And sometimes when I see it and I notice it as somebody who's a fan of movies, and I'll just see it inserted when it wasn't necessary, it seems odd to me, and I don't like it. You know, I guess it stands out, and that's sometimes I think to myself, I wonder who they think they were kidding here, because it just didn't work.
Yeah, no, a bad computer. It's like Blu-ray. Like I love, you know, like 70s and 80s horror films.
Right.
And I'll go to a friend's house that has like a high definition TV, and they have a Blu-ray, and I feel like I'm watching a soap opera. It's like, really, Hellraiser wasn't supposed to look like this. I want a VHS copy, you know, played on my VCR on a low res TV, because that's how I enjoyed it when I enjoyed it.
Wow,
so
that's great.
I get where you come from.
All right, let's take a call here. We go to Bob in
Cotati.
Good evening. You're on KGO.
Good evening. Great subject. Hey, speaking about the old classic movies, how about one that came out that was probably in the 60s, late 60s, early 70s, the original Night of the Living Dead, done in black and white. No CGI back then.
Indeed.
And what do you think about that? It set the standard for a lot of zombie things that are still alive today. What do you guys think about that one?
Go ahead.
Can I take it?
Absolutely.
Okay, say that's the birth. That's George Romero classic. That is the birth of the American zombie. And that every film has been made since then, they take his format and his form of how he created the zombie, slow walking, eats living flesh. All that thing has been taken to the new series of The Walking Dead, which was it's a great comic. If you watch The Walking Dead, read the comic, it's better. But that is the classic quintessential zombie movie, and that's why everything's been copied since then. It's one of my all-time favorite movies. We actually have a rule in the house. If I'm on my Dish Network and I'm looking for a movie to watch, if Night of the Living Dead is on, you have to watch it. So we watch it all the time.
Thank you very much, Bob. Bob, let me ask you, I'm just curious, where you stand with CGI?
Oh, me? You know, it makes the impossible possible.
That's
so
true.
You know, it's sometimes, you know, it's no substitute for a good story. I'm sorry. The effects are, they're dazzling and they're fun, but I'm sorry, if you don't have a plot and a story, good characters, the CGI is cotton candy. So you got to have the story first of all.
Right, right. And I think, Streff, thank you very much for the call. I think, Strefan, you nailed it. It is the story. And then, you know, when it's a bad story and it's cheesy CGI, then it's just.
Do we like Ed Wood?
I love Ed Wood.
Yeah.
I love Ed Wood. I like it all, bad or good. People say, you know, like, if somebody put the effort in to make the movie, I'm going to watch it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like they actually put the time and effort into it, and it's going to cost me a couple hours. I mean, that nowadays when you cruise the internet, you can do that without blinking. You know, 2 hours later, you're like, why am I looking at bolts on Amazon? I don't even know how I got here.
Oh, God, that's true.
Yeah, so if somebody put the energy into making the movie, I'm going to watch it, and I'm not gonna sit there and clown on it and say, oh, it's bad. It's like, okay, they put the energy in, and if I like it, then yeah, that's great. And if I didn't like it, then, you know, there's always another one out there.
You still looked at some art instead of doing something dumb or awful, yeah.
Okay. Exactly.
Strephon Taylor is the documentarian, and the film out right now, playing at the Balboa, is Jack Pierce, the maker of monsters. Dracula, Frankenstein, The Mummy, The Wolfman. All, if you're into this, you've got to go see it. Where else can we see the film, Strephon?
I have 7 other theaters around the Bay Area that is playing it all October long.
Great.
I mean, we have independent, like, one weekend nights or something like that. The easiest way is just go to novemberfire.com. That's November, as in the month, and fire, as in that's a bad thing, novemberfire.com. Go there, and on the front page, there's a bar to click to go to the Jack Pierce website, and that has all of the places. We're playing at the Niles Essanay Silent Film Museum on the 9th, the Sebastiani Theater on the 11th, the New Parkway in Oakland on the 17th, the
Ooh.
Crest on the 23rd.
That's a good one.
And go look there. You'll see all of the dates. I could name them all off, but it's not like I'm a giant commercial, and I don't want to do that.
Yeah, it's just easier to go to the website. Nobody can remember anyway.
Novemberfire.com.
Exactly.
Okay, Jack Pierce, the maker of monsters. Strephon Taylor, thank you very much. And after you do your next film, please come back on the air and join us.
I would love to. Thank you for all the help.
Okay,
sure.
We're going to take a break and we'll be back. We're going to get to the good news coming up on the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10.